Johnny Mac with your daily comedy news. Amazon announced support for a federal bill that would decriminalize marijuana, and they pledged to stop screening workers for THC. Jimmy Kimmel said, that kind of sucks for these workers because the urine test was the only bathroom break they got at Amazon. Kimmel added, I wonder if they'll also take a different approach to what they sell, because right now, if you want to buy a pipe to smoke out of, you have to search for creative, useful, small gadgets or portable small tools, which makes no sense because 40% of the stuff people buy on Amazon is because they're high. Kimmel is frustrated by the vaccination rates in Los Angeles. He joked, instead of calling it a vaccine, we should start calling it arm Botox. The most frustrating thing is that a lot of these unvaccinated people aren't just avoiding getting the shot. They're not getting masks. They're like, pandemic's over. Not for you, it isn't. Listen, if you didn't chip in for the gift, you don't get to sign the card. Kimmel also chimed in on New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's fundraiser, $10,000 a plate, and for an extra $250, Cuomo will whisper something in your ear that will haunt you for decades. The fundraiser is billed in an email to campaign donors as a summer reception. It will take place on June 29th at a, quote, undisclosed location in New York City, which is exactly what you want to hear from a guy facing multiple sexual harassment accusations. It's basically his version of OnlyFans. And Kimmel chimed in on Jill Biden's 70th birthday. The president and his bride celebrated by going to the beach house in Delaware, which I guess is the most old person thing Joe could think of. They watched the sunset over the novelty t-shirt shops and adult video stores. Donald Trump complained about gas prices. Kimmel said, he's just a crazy old man shouting at pigeons now. He seems to have forgotten that the reason gas prices were low is because we had no place to go. We had nowhere to drive. There was a terrible virus killing our grandparents. When I was president, we spent money on porn stars, not gasoline. Kimmel is less upset about long lines at the airport. TSA has warned to expect long lines, and Kimmel said, when that wand touches my inner thigh, I'm going to look that agent right in the eye and say, I missed you, big guy. I really did. Switching to Stephen Colbert, he pointed out Biden has been president for 4 months, which means it's time to start talking about the 2024 presidential election. Trump intends to run again, quote, so long as he has a good bill of health, according to Politico. Colbert said, what? That's crazy. In 2024, he'll be 78 years old, which is exactly how old Joe Biden is right now. According to Politico, Republicans are hoping to replicate Trump's appeal in a candidate, quote, without the baggage of two impeachments, a Capitol riot he stoked, groundless challenges to his election loss, and the big lie of voter fraud. But those are all his secret ingredients, said Colbert. That's like taking away the colonel's 11 herbs and spices. With both guys, all you'd have left is a chicken-loving old man who reminds you of the Confederacy. Michael Che was on Jimmy Kimmel Live. He was promoting his new show, That Damn Michael Che, that airs on HBO Max. But the interview was hijacked by the person that Michael Che is staying with. Che is staying with Dave Chappelle. And Chappelle kept interrupting. Che and Kimmel tried to stay on point, but Dave Chappelle kept slipping in on the side of the camera. One time he said, I saw Colonel Sanders' ghost one night. Second Colonel Sanders reference of the podcast, by the way, for those of you playing Daily Comedy News Bingo. Che also shared that his favorite Colin is Colin Quinn. No, not Colin Jost, Colin Quinn. At one point, Kimmel asked a question. Chappelle blurted in, don't answer that, Michael. In other big news, if you're in Seattle, this is just huge. Good news for you. George Lopez Tacos, you know I'm fascinated with them. They have come to your town. That's right. Actor George Lopez? I thought he was a comedian. He's an actor now. Actor, chef, comedian. He does it all. George Lopez will bring his delivery-only street taqueria to the Emerald City starting today, folks, today, using Virtual Kitchen Marketplace sponsor name. The Taqueria will deliver right to the doorsteps of Seattleites through third-party services like, you know, the places where you order online and somebody brings you your food in a car. They can pay for the ads. George Lopez says, my street tacos are all about helping you break your routines and dinner expectations with a badass street taco experience that tastes damn delicious. Thank you, George Lopez. The Hollywood Reporter spoke to Pete Davidson. They were like, are there things the SNL writers come to you? And you're like, yeah, I don't think so. Pete said, so few come my way that I have to do them all. The thing about SNL is you don't really have much of a say. It's just like, hey, this is what you're going to do this week. And you're like, ah, cool. I do like the randomness of it. And I usually play very dumb characters. So it's very easy for me. I have one character that I've done in my 7 years on the show, which shows how great I am. His name is Chad. And he's very dumb. And every response is just, okay, I see a lot of myself in Chad. Pete said this past season was his favorite season. The Hollywood Reporter said, what changed? Pete's answer, I was at a really different place a year or two ago. I'm not exactly proud of how I handled or was handling things a few years ago. Looking back on it, you're like, oh, come on, dude. Luckily, a pandemic happened and I got kicked in the chops and had to sit with all my immature, irrational decisions. I was so happy when they said SNL was going to come back because I was literally sitting with my own thoughts and I was feeling really bad. I was just really excited to work and see people, and I had a different outlook for this season moving forward. I think I've been able to have a lot of fun and I really appreciate it. Not working at all really sucks. Naples News caught up with Nate Bergazzi. He talked about drive-in shows and saying doing those drive-in shows were fun. What's hard is when people want to leave early. You see headlights hit you in the face. I saw a big Ford F-150 in Butler, Pennsylvania just leave early with its big lights coming on. He went up and down every aisle trying to find the exit. It's very distracting. I've never performed outside with an audience wearing masks. You see all their eyes. Most of the people's eyes don't look like they're on board with what's going on. Growing up, I would do shows with my dad. Growing up around that with my dad doing shows and magic, when I wanted to start comedy, my parents were thrilled. I'm very lucky. They were super, super supportive. He knew he had to get to New York, saying, you just knew New York was where you had to go. That was a great setup by me, wasn't it? When you go there, you're not thinking you're going to sell out Madison Square Garden. You're just trying to get to the next level in comedy, and you're pretty much at the bottom. He began by handing out flyers on the street at comedy venues, promoting the headliners for that night. And after they had all performed, he'd take the stage for a few minutes around midnight or 1 a.m. You do that every single night, he said. Man, when I was running SiriusXM, I'd leave work and you'd see these poor, poor comedians handing out the flyers. And nobody wants a flyer. It's just miserable work. And their come on would be like, do you like stand-up comedy? And I never did it. I was so tempted to be like, yeah, hang on, and like take out my phone and call one of the famous comedians who was in my phone. I never had it in me to do that to someone because I'm not that much of a jerk, but it went through my head every day. Nate said, from the South, I talk a little slower. In New York, I had to learn how I can get the audience into the rhythm the quickest. The first joke is just for them to hear my voice to get them in a rhythm. All right, everybody, thank you for the hookups. Yesterday, I asked for a favor. That favor is and was, if you could go to Apple Podcasts, subscribe to my new podcast. It is called Travel Is Back. It's a very casual travel podcast about me and my adventures and places I've been. I'm trying to climb the charts. If you could do me a favor and follow Travel Is Back on the Apple Podcasts app and download episode 1, which is about Chicago, which is one of my favorite places to go, especially in June. I don't even care if you listen to it. Just download it and help me game the system. That podcast is called Travel Is Back. Don't worry, this one's not going anywhere. This is just this other thing, is this idea I've had for a year that I've wanted to do. And I'm like, you got to eventually do it. So I just jumped in the pool and started doing it. Chicago this week, Nashville next week. Again, it is called Travel Is Back. Please follow it in Apple Podcasts and download episode 1. And then you can delete episode 1. I don't care if you listen. Seth Rogen spoke to NPR. He said when he was 12, his mother signed him up for a local comedy class. He was the youngest person in the class by far, but that didn't stop him. It'll always be part of my story that the first time I told jokes was in front of about 100 lesbians. Most of my jokes were grandparent-based. I assume the lesbians had grandparents just like I did. Entertainment and comedy comes from conflict. In general, looking towards that feeling rather than what do you love, what makes you happy, what's going great is for sure something I still think about. I did very bad in school always. My teachers did not like me. I was always getting kicked out of class in elementary school. I would just get kicked out of class all the time, which is a funny thing when you think about it. That's how they would deal with me. I would just like go stand in the hall alone. I understand why it was maybe the best thing to do with me at the moment. And then in high school, I really just stopped caring about school, and very quickly I was like, this is not going to be my path to success in life. I would say I had a casual relationship with attending high school in general. Dropping out felt more like the very expected conclusion of what had been a long downward spiral. It was not surprising that anyone, not really, no one tried to convince me to stay or even get a GED. No one in my life was like, this is going to ruin your life if you drop out of high school. It was very clear by then that I was highly motivated to do other things, just not academic things. And from the New Yorker, one comedian's attempt to make New York laugh again, Carmen Christopher has been roving New York City with a microphone and a loudspeaker in Street Special airing on Peacock. Carmen Christopher said, the disease couldn't come up at a worse time because just last year I was named a vulture comic to watch. So as everybody else started doing outdoor shows, he abandoned the pretense of normalcy altogether. In Street Special, he dons an Outback Steakhouse branded windbreaker and he hangs around New York City, lugging a rolling speaker and a microphone. He stops at intersections or outside establishments like Union Square Park or in front of skaters at Washington Square Park or in front of restaurants in Brooklyn. And he performs snippets of material listlessly and to the confusion of spectators. The New Yorker says the experiment seems promising at first, but his comedy runs into resistance. At the beginning of the special, spoilers, Christopher performs for a couple, and he pretends to get a work phone call and eventually says that an ISIS recruiter is on the other end of the line, and he says, "You can come find me right now. We're all down at Grand Army Plaza." The joke earns him some amused looks that might have turned into laughter if the audience weren't wearing masks. As the filming progresses, it shows the bystander audience is growing more and more aggravated by his presence. Instead of heckling, booing, or remaining silent, people often ask him to leave. The New Yorker says, "We eventually come to feel as if Street Special was never intended to be funny." Yikes. It is on Peacock if you want to watch it. I don't think there are any humans on the earth who pay for the non-commercial version of Peacock, and it's 2021 and commercials are annoying. But you make your choice. Street Special on Peacock. And from the AV Club, comedian imagines some of the Fellowship's road conversations not shown in The Lord of the Rings. Joz Norris was on a 6-day hike of his own, and he was inspired to think up what some of the group from The Lord of the Rings might have talked about to pass the time, and he filmed himself acting it out. In the video, Norris walks along a forest path wearing the fabled raincoat of Gore-Tex. He turns to the camera to roleplay a road-weary human, hoping to spark conversation on the Fellowship's quest to throw a ring into a volcano, and says, "Okay, let's play a guessing game. Guess what I'm thinking about?" And his unseen companion says, "It's the ring." Yeah. That's your comedy news for today. If you enjoy what I do and you'd like to support the show, go to buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. You can throw $5 in the tip jar. I will take your $5. I will head to National Donuts chain and buy a large iced coffee. I'd shake the cup right now, but I don't have one. So we got a problem here. Who's going to hook me up? buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. Follow the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your shows. See you tomorrow.